Okay, there we are. Okay, so we're on Lamed Amud Aleph. So if you remember in yesterday's Gemara, we quoted a brisa that Rav Shimon Elazar said he had some kulas, and the kulas were that if it's a chol or a zaken, a sick person or an elderly person, kidei mizono, they presumably take less food than a regular person. So if they're a Rubit Chumin, they need less food. That's a leniency, obviously. Ravtan besuda benoni shel kol adam. He's a ravtan, a glutton. He eats a ton of food, so he can have the standard amount of food, which is also a kula. So he eats, you know, 3 tons of food, but he can have the regular shear that the average person would eat. And welcome, Mordechai. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you around in quite a while, Mordechai. Welcome. Then welcome, Shaya. So the Gemara says on the fifth line, Umiyamar Rav Shimon Elazar Hach. Did Rav Shimon Elazar really say this? That means things are tailored to the person. That's basically what Rav Shimon Elazar says. Well, we're going to tailor the halacha to the person, not tailor to the person. That one second, right. In other words, if he was a glutton, we're going to do the average needs. In other words, did he really say that the glutton would do the average person's needs? So he says, we learn the brisa. So this is talking about the din of sof tuma latzeit. So we know if you have a dead body in a house, everything in the house becomes tame. Let's say there are doors in the house and the doors are closed, but there's like a covered entranceway into the house. So each one of those entranceways, things that are in that entranceway also become tame, because you know the dead person is eventually going to have to be taken out of the house. So everything, we don't know which doorway he's going to go out. So every doorway becomes tame. Let's say I have one opening is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and the others are less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So we assume that the dead body would be taken out the entranceway, which is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim is just, you know, like 16 inches by 16 inches. But if one opening is 16 inches by 16 inches, the others are less, we assume that the person goes out that exit. The Rav Shimon Elazar says, let's say the dead person is like Og Melech HaBashan. He's like this big, you know, corpulent person. He needs a big exit. So there we're going to, now if I would have a number of exits and they would all be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim with the average person, they will become Tame. But with Og Melech HaBashan, he's saying, I need so much more room. So if there's one exit or entrance that's like, you know, 3 amot by 3 amot and the others are 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so we're going to assume that Og Melech HaBashan is going out the one, the 3 amot by the 3 amot. So we're not saying that we don't go to the average person, we just do it him. So that's the stira. So here Rav Shimon Elazar says, if he's a Rav Tan, which is sort of like an Og Melech HaBashan type person, we're going to go like the average person. But here, the dead body, he says, we're going to have the halakha that's going to be tailored for the dead body. So that's the stira, the alleged stira. So Abaye says, look, what are we supposed to do over there? Chop up the body? In other words, the physical situation is undeniable. I got a body in there. It's got to get out of the house. And it can't go out through the small exits. It's going to have to go out to the big exit. So there, under those circumstances, Rav Shimon Elazar will agree that, right, that we're not going to tailor it to the average person because we got to get the body out of the house. That's going to be the shear for the body. But typically, in other situations, he says we'll like lower it to the average person. Okay, let me just do 5 more lines, and I'll pause, and we'll take some questions. So the Gemara says, Ibailhu, the question was asked, Pligi Rabbanan Leiz Rav Shimon Elazar, Olo, are the Chachamim Mechulak, with Rav Shimon Elazar's din about Og Melech HaBashan, that the exit, larger exit, that's for Og Melech HaBashan. So Tashma, the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, we have a statement from Rabbi Yochanan, Og Melech HaBashan, Pitcho B'Yarboa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Og Melech HaBashan, his exit is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So Rabbi Yochanan's an Amara, he's not going to be cholik with a Tana, but we assume that Rabbi Yochanan had Tanaim, which he relied. So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion reflects apparently a different opinion, because Rav Shimon Elazar said, Og Melech HaBashan, we're going to take the exit, which is larger for him. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he gets the same din of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so everything will be tame there. So the Gemara says, Hatam de'ika p'tachim k'tanim tu. But the Gemara says that's not necessarily proof. In that case, they had a lot of small exits. So they're all very small, and one entrance was 4 by 4. He says, So if you're going to expand one entrance or exit, you'll take the one that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. But it doesn't mean the chachamim are necessarily mechulak with the din of Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar says the larger entrance is for Og Melech HaBashan. In this case, they said that if it's an entranceway that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, That'll be for him. That means that there are no larger exits. So we assume the one that will be expanded will be that one, but doesn't necessarily mean they're mechulik with him. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea we had was that Rav Shimon Lazar said that even though a person's a Rav Tana, a glutton, we're not going to use his menu or his diet to set the shear for a Suda. We're going to go to the average person. And then the Gemara said, well, we have a stira because he holds, by Tuma, he holds, we don't do the average for if you're an Ogmel Kabashan. You need a big exit for Ogmel Kabashan, and that'll be the one that's Tame. So if I have a whole bunch of exits that are Portzvachim by Portzvachim, and one is 3 Amot by 3 Amot, the 3 Amot by 3 Amot is the one that's going to be Tame, not the 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. So it's Ledge stira because here he's saying go by the average, and here he says no Ogmel Kabashan. So he said that in Achinam, Shimon Lazar holds, in some cases, it's incontrovertible. I have to, you know, the physical world exists, so we got to get the body out of the house. Obviously, I'm going to get the body out of the house. I'm going to take him through the big exit. And so that's undeniable. But typically, he'll say, we'll do the average one. Then the Gemara says, are the Chachamim mechulik with him or agree with him? So we had a raya to say that that they disagree with him because we had a statement from Yochanan that Ogmel Kamsham Pitcho Biarba, that his exit would be 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. So the Gemara says, no, over there we're talking about you have little micro holes and you have one hole, one exit, which is 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. So the one that you expand will be 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. But in Akinami, the Chachamim could agree with Rishon Lazar that if I have a larger one, I have 4 Tvachim, the larger one will be for Ogmel Kabashan. All right. Who's the question, comments to us? Anything we did so far?
If all the entrances are 4 by 4,
right?
They all become tame.
Correct.
No matter where you take the body from.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, and that's an important din in general by DNA Tuma and Tara with Sof Tuma. Let's say it, you know, has a lot of applications, especially for Konim, hospitals, things like that. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right, now we're around 15 lines down on Lamed Amud Aleph. So,
the only time we say one of the doors becomes tame is when one's bigger than the other ones?
So if they're all small, if you have an average sized person and they're all smaller and one is 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim, we'll assume that the 4 Tvachim one is the one you're going to exit. Okay. That's the way we're. Okay, now back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ravashi Amar Rav Ma'arvin Basra Chai. So Rav Chiya Bar Ravashi says that in Rav, one can make an Erev Techubin with Basra Chai, with raw meat, and we discussed this yesterday. He says, Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya Ma'arvin Bebeitzim Chayot. Simi Bar Chiya says you can make an Erev Techubin with raw eggs. So he said it means that those things are edible. So he says here, Bekama, how many raw eggs? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Sinai Yomar Shtayim. Rav Nachman says Sinai. Sinai is a code name for Rav Yosef. You remember the Gemara in the end of Bracho, it says that Rav and Rav Yosef, one was Oker Harim, Rav was Oker Harim, he means that good Sfar is Pilpul, so he's the Oker Harim. And Rav Yosef was the Sinai. He's the Sinai because he knows all the Mishnah and the prices. So they all knew all the Mishnah, but he all also knew these prices. So the Gemara says that, you know, that the Sinai is Adif, because that, you know, like every base medrash needs somebody who knows all these things. Otherwise, you know, you don't have anything to go with. Okay, let's refresh your recollection. So in the Mishnah that we learned on, this was on the beginning of Shabbos' daf, which I did on Sunday. So if you want, you can turn back to Chaf Avam Beis. The Gemara had brought in Agav Orcha. It doesn't relate definitely, you know, specific. It's not a din tchumin, but we said a noder min a mazon mutar b'mayim u'melech. If a person makes neder not to eat mazon food, we think the pshat is food, so he's allowed to have water and salt, salt and water. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So now we're on Lamed Amud Aleph mutar mayim chulei. So melech u'mayim hud lo ikri mazon. The Gemara takes it that he took an eder not to have mazon. And again, just to refresh recollections, Shvuah goes on the Gavra. The Shvuah says he will or will not do something. A neder goes on the Cheftza. So he says that, you know, like mazon is prohibited to him. So the Gemara says that Mayim and Melech he could have, that we think it's not called mazon. It's not called sustenance. It's not called food. So he says, Hakol mili ikri mazon. So everything else is called mazon. Everything else is called sustenance. So the Gemara says, Lema tebe tiyufta the Rabbi Shmuel. So should we say from our Mishnah, assuming that's the correct shot in the Mishnah, that we'll be able to slug up Rav and Shmuel? He says, the Rabbi Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, Ein Mavark and Borim in his own, Odel Akhamesh and Amin Babad. So this is a sugya in Mesechet Brachot. Rabbi Shmuel said he can only recite Borim in his own on food that's made from one of the 5 minim. There are 5 different types of grain. I'm sure you'll remember Chitis Ora, and then there's Shibolet Shual, Kusmin, and one more. Which one are we missing?
Oats.
Wait. What's the Hebrew word for it? Wait. Chitas Ora. Shual Kusmin. All right, but anyway, but this will be right. It's wheat, barley, rice, spelt, and oats. So I'm just not thinking of the word for it. Anyway, so what?
Se'orim? No.
Say again.
Se'orim?
No. So se'orim is barley. We said that already. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so he says, oh, you can only make brain results on the five mina b'vad. He says, so the Gemara says, Lord, vini chadazim, did we shlug it up or once? And there was the machloket over there. So another opinion holds, I make barim mina zonot on rice. So cooked rice, I make barim mina zonot. So here we're saying in the Mishnah, it sounds like mazon is not just the five minim; it includes everything but salt and water. So that would certainly shlug up. Rav and Shul holds along the five minim. So the Gemara says lema te tuv tain amiha. So we, even though we shlug them up from over there, but we can shlug them up from this Mishnah as well. So Amrav Huna ba'omer kol azanalai. So Rav Huna says our Mishnah is reconcilable with the opinion of Rav and Shul. The Mishnah is talking about a case where a person made a neder. Call Hazanalai. He says that anything that gives me, that gives sustenance, I didn't explain it right before, but he's saying he says that anything that satisfies me is prohibited. In other words, first way is sustenance, I did say right. Everything was sustenance. Now it's anything that satisfies, that fills me up. So the netter here wasn't mazon. He, in other words, he ostered kol hazanalai. He ostered anything that fills the person up. That's what he made. So water and salt don't fill you up, but anything that would fill me up, that's what he's ostering on him. But that doesn't relate to the mazon. He says, mayim melachud lo zaini, hakumin li zaini. So the Gemara says, so it comes out that water and salt, they don't fill a person up. But everything else, we think everything that's edible would fill you up, and therefore, if you make such an eder, the only thing you can have is water and salt. So the Gemara says, is that true? Va'ama Rabba Bar Rachana. Rabba Bar Rachana said, "Ki avizil nebatrei to Rabbi Yochanan lemechal peri de ginosar." When I went behind Rabbi Yochanan to eat the fruits of ginosar. Ginosar is the area near Yam HaKineret. If you remember the Gemara, I think Brachot also says they had delicious fruit there. And so the Gemara says, so when there were 100 of us, we each picked 10 fruit. So we picked 1,000 fruit. He said, when there were 10 of us, so we each took 100. Either way, in the end, we had 1,000 fruit. So there were 100 of us, 10 each, 1,000. There were 10 of us, 100 fruit, also 1,000. He says, or lo habamaksik lahu, which way does he have in the art scroll? He says all 100 fruit, right? Yeah, could not fit, right? So the 100 fruit could not fit in a basket, which is 3 sa'ah. In other words, they were big fruit. 3 sa'ah, each sa'ah is, I think, 144 eggs. So three baskets, 3 sa'ah would be, let's say, like 150, like around 450. Like around 450 eggs. Imagine 450 eggs. So the 100 fruit cannot fit in a basket with 450 eggs. That space. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan would eat all the fruit. He'd eat 1,000 fruit. He says, "Va'amar shuata lo time liziuna." He took like a shoe. He said, "Like I'm still starving." So it means like this. So he said that everything fills a person up. So if a person makes a neder, he says kol hazanalai. He says anything that fills me up is proscribed in this neder. So he said everything is prohibited because everything can fill you up except for water and salt. But now the Gemara says, look, he ate 1,000 of these fruit, he wasn't filled up. So that it should also be permitted to have the fruit. So the Gemara says, Ema mizona. So you have to say that what he said was that there's a shvua. He was saying that he hadn't eaten sustaining food. In other words, food that would like nourish him and keep him going. In other words, enakonami had filled him up, but it wasn't like, you know, like the meat and potato that would, you know, sustain him. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Yeah, in the Steinsaltz Gemara, they don't use the word filling up. They use the word nourish. There's obviously a substantive difference.
Wait. But which line do they use the word nourish?
The whole part that you just read.
No. There's two lashonos. There's mazon and zan. So which,
right.
which line do they say is nourished?
It says, this inclusive formulation includes anything that provides even a small degree of nourishment, but the particular mazon nourishment or sustenance used in the blessing is reserved only for the five species of grain. So yeah, to me, nourishment is a different
Yeah, but zan is a sustaining food.
Yeah, well, sustaining what? In the sense of health?
Wait,
filling.
All right.
We read in a Gemara either yesterday or the day before that one of the reasons that water and salt doesn't count is because it makes you ill or something. So doesn't that count in the concept of nourishment?
How does he translate the line "Amar Rav Huna Ba'Omer Kula Zan Alai"? How does he translate that line, Robert?
Just say it again slowly.
Rav Huna said, "Ba'Omer Kula Zan Alai."
Okay, I'll read it to you. We can resolve the difficulty from the Mishnah by saying that it's referring to someone who vows and says, anything that nourishes is prohibited to me.
All right. Well, from Rashi, I don't know about the nourishes, but the way from Rashi, it sounds like that it fills you up.
I'll read you the next line. In that case, it is water and salt that are permitted to him as they do not nourish. But all other food items are prohibited as they do nourish.
All right. I don't know.
Nourish would be calories.
Yeah.
There's zero calories in salt or water.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm going to go with the art scroll and the Rashi the way I understand it. It could be that he means this with nourish as well. It means if it fills you up, that's what the netter is including. Well, it was something that fills me up. I feel filled up. I don't feel hungry. I feel filled up.
Satisfied. You feel satisfied.
Right. That's what he's saying. And the other one is like sustenance, that it keeps you going. I have
nourishment is. I could eat an ice cream cake and I'll be filled up, but I won't be nourished.
All right. You have your tainas with the English translation, not with the Gemara, though. Okay, so write a letter to the Steinsaltz people.
I can't. He's no longer with us.
Yeah, but the whole group of people.
I'll write to his executor.
No, they have a whole group of people who worked in that project. I'm sure they're still around. Okay, I know one of them was a Rabbi Schreier, I think, was the head of it. Okay, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we're doing?
His son now has taken over the leadership.
All right. There, send it to the son. Okay, now. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So I'm going to pick up. There's two lines above where it gets wide. Okay, so Am Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna said the name of Rav. Shavu Shlo Acha Kikar Zu Marvin Lo Ba. If a person took a shua, again, shua is going on the person. So a person took a shua that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, he can nevertheless make an Eruv Tchum, because even though he can't eat it, other people can eat it. He took a shua, he's not going to eat it. He says, Kikar Zu Alai. But if he said kikar zu'alai, this loaf is prohibited from him in hana'a, so then he can't get hana'a. So getting the eruv tchumin would be a type of hana'a. That's what we think. So he said ema arvin loba. You can't make an eruv with it. Okay, that's the basic yisod, all right? Listen, everybody got those two lines right. If you don't have those two lines right, the next 20 lines won't make sense. But you have everybody got the two lines right, okay? Everybody said the difference. If a person says that he's prohibited to eat the loaf, he can make a eruv tchumin because other people can eat the loaf. But if he says, I can't get any hana from this loaf, so I'm getting benefit from the loaf, even if other people are eating it because I'm using it for an eruv tchumin. Okay, so the Gemara says on the first white line, Meifei, we ask a question against Rav from the following Braisa. It says, Hanoder min a kikar ma'arvin loba. If a person makes a neder from a kikar, and here, neder and shua, it's like, it's the key is not the lasho and the neder and shua, the key is the substance of the vow. So, Hanoder min a kikar, a person takes a vow from the loaf of bread, you can never make an eruv. My lab da amar aloi, is it not that he said he's not going to get hana'a from the loaf of bread? And nevertheless, it says, I could make an eruv tchumen with it. Lo da amar zu. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat. He just said he's not going to eat the loaf, but in Hakinami, so it's perfectly in consonance with what Rav said. So the Gemara says, Hakinami mistabar. That's a logical interpretation of the Braisa, de katani seifa, because we learn later on in the Braisa, and here's a quote from later on, Eimatai bizman shamar shavua shlova tamena. When is he allowed to make an eruv with the loaf? If he makes a shua that he's not going to taste it. So he says, but the implication being, aval amar alai, but it, so that that's all in consonants. I'm not going to eat it, not going to taste it. So then I can make the Eruv Tchumin with it. Aval Amar Alai, but if he said Alai, that the whole loaf is prohibited, Hana'a, my Hakanami, the in Ma'arib and Loba. So in Hakanami, I can't make an Eruv with it. So far, we're doing so good with the statement from Rav Huna in the name of Rav. We don't think we have a steer now from the Brisa. So the Gemara says, Ihachi. So the Brisa later on teaches me that if a person says this kikar is hekdesh, if I declare the kikar to be hekdesh, loaf is hekdesh, so then I certainly can't get any hana from it. So he says, then ema arvin loba, I can't use it for a rubei tchumen. So he says, lefi she'ema arvin behekdesh, I can't make a rubei tchumen with the hekdesh. So if the Tana now wants to teach me a case where I can't make it. In other words, he wants to be she's go where I could make it and a case where I can't make it. So if it's the way, why does he have to go to Hekdesh to teach me that's the case where I can't make the Eruv Tchumen? In other words, if he could stay in Chulin, he should give the example of Chulin. He should say the case where I could make the Eruv Tchumen, he asserted it, he can't eat from it. And then the case that he can't, if everything is like Rav's interpretation, then he should say where I can't get Hana from it. So he says, Liflog litni b'dida, he should say with Chulin, b'medvam murim da amarzu, aval amar lai in ma'arvin loba. So since the Brisa does not give that example, that lends rise to the Svara, that in Akinami, even if you offer yourself in Hana from the loaf of bread, that you could make a Ruby Tchumen with it. How could you make a Ruby Tchumen if you can't get Hana from it? So Rashi is two pshatim. Either, even though you say you don't want to get hana'a from it, what you mean is you won't eat it. In other words, because the main hana'a from bread is eating it. So even though the words say you won't get hana'a from it, he means like the typical hana'a, which is eating it. That's pshat A. Or pshat B is that if I'm using it for Eruv Tchumen, so the Gemara is going to learn in tomorrow's daf that you make an Eruv Tchumen when you're doing a mitzvah. In other words, I need to, let's say, I'm a moel, I have to get to a certain place, so I'm going to have the Eruv Tchumen down there, so I'll be able to go to the bris. So I'm using it to facilitate doing a mitzvah. So Chazal teaches mitzvahs lav hiyanoninu. Mitzvahs aren't given to get hana from. So even though I can't, you know, benefit from this loaf of bread, but since it's facilitating a mitzvah, so it's like a mitzvah, and the mitzvahs aren't given to me to get hana from. That's the other pshat that Rashi has. So let's take a look. So Amalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna would say to you, this is on the sixth very wide line on Lamed Amar Aleph. So Amalach Rav Huna. Rav Huna would say to you, Elamai Kolheichata Amar Lai Ma'arvin. So what do you want to say? What's the alternative? So you want to say that even not like I said in the name of Rav, you want to say that even when the person says that he's not going to get any hana from the loaf of bread, he can still use the loaf of bread for a Eruv Tchumen, either because when he says not hanin hana, it means eating, or it means it's for a mitzvah, so he could do it. So he says, so kashereisha. So if that's the case, so the earlier halacha doesn't work out well, because what's the case that the Tana the Brisa gave where you could use it on the third white line was shvuish lo etamena. It makes a shvuah that I won't taste from it. That's the case. But if it's even a lie, you should teach me that case that I can make it. He says, so the Gemara says, you're right. So kashereisha. So the Gemara like Marvin, so kashereisha. So the Gemara says, chisuri mechser v'hachi k'tani. You're right. We have to say there are words missing from the Brisa, and this is the way we should understand the Brisa. I know they're min a kikar, ma'arvin loba. If a person makes an eder from the loaf of bread, you can make an eder with it, but v'afilu amar a lie. Even if he said a lie, even if he said I'm not getting a hana from this loaf of bread, he can make an eruv with it. Why? Nasa ka'omer shvuish lo tamena. It's like making sure that he's not going to taste it. That fits in more with the first pshat, I thought, with Rashi. In other words, or that's the way it sounds like, more like the first pshat in Rashi. In other words, even if he says a lie, he just means he's really ostering on eating it. He says, mikomakom kashel Rav Huna. So at the end of the day, though, the way we interpreted this brisa is not the way Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, if you make a shvuah, thinking of hana from the loaf of bread, you can't make an Eruv Tchumen with it. The Brisa is saying you could make an Eruv Tchumen with it. And we touched up why it says it. But the Brisa is bad news for Rav. So the Gemara says, Hudamark Reblezer. So Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, will follow a different Tana, Reblezer, and Reblezer is going to say the same thing. The Tani, we learn in the Brisa, Reblezer Omer, Shvush Lochal Kikar Zuma Arvin Loba. If a person says, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, he can make an Eruv Tchumen with it. Kikar Zulai, Ema Arvin Loba. And so, just like the same as Rav. So, since I have the Tana Reb Lezer, Rav says exactly like Reb Lezer. In Akhenami, the first price is Mechulik with him, but Rav will go like the Tana Reb Lezer. So, the Gemara says, Umiyamar Reb Lezer Hachi, did Reb Lezer, now we're going to have a steer. Did Reb Lezer really say this? We're going to have a different quote from Reb Lezer. V'atani, we learn in the Braisa, Zachlal, this is the overarching principle. Adam oser atzmo ba'ochel ma'arvin l'ba. If a person osers eating an object, he can make a tumen with it. Ochel aneser l'li Adam, he's not going to get any hana from it, ay ma'arvin l'ba. Reb Lezer omer, the town of Reb Lezer says, kikar zu'alai ma'arvin l'ba. He says, according to the Tanur Reb Lezer, if a person says kikar zu alai, he could make an eruv tchumen with it. He says kikar zu hekdesh ein ma'arvin lo ba, but if he says hekdesh, you can't make an eruv with it. Lefisha ein ma'arvin lo ba hekdesh out. So the key is, the first part of the Brice sounds like would be in accordance with Rav, but the part with Reb Lezer doesn't seem to the shtimois. So the Gemara says trei tanaim, I believe, with Reb Lezer. There are two tanaim who have different versions about what Reb Lezer said. So Rav will go like the first version of Reb Lezer. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did, get the main points, and move on and take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the main point we said was when I'm making a eruv tchumen, again, a eruv tchumen, I'm planting food for two meals, and it's like I'm changing my residence by planting the food out in the field or whatever. That's my residence. Where my food is where I am. That's a little bit, maybe tells you something about human attitudes and thoughts. Like what's important in life. Anyway, So Rav said a halacha, if a person makes a shvu, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, he can still make an eruv tchumen with it because other people can eat a loaf of bread. But if he says a shvu that he's not going to get hana from the loaf of bread, he can't. Then we had a brisa that ended up saying not that way. The brisa said, even if a person makes a shvu that, or a neder, that he's not going to get hana from this loaf of bread, he can make a eruv tchumen with it. How can he make a eruv tchumen? He says he's not going to get hana from it. So Rashi gave two svaras. Either when he says not going to get hana, he means the typical hana. In other words, in Akinami, he says the words, but he means like in the Darim, halecha kar lashon b'nei adam. When in Darim, we follow the way people normally speak. So when people talk about getting benefit from a loaf of bread, they're talking about eating the bread. So even though he said, I'm not going to get hana from him, he's not going to eat the bread. That's the one pshat. Or the other pshat is that he meant that he's not getting hana from it, but making a eruv tchumen is doing a mitzvah, facilitating a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is lav lehanot ninu. Mitzvahs weren't given to get hana from it. All right, then we said that, well, so now the Rav Hunan and Rav were in trouble. So he said, Rav Hunan and Rav follow Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says exactly the same as Rav Hunan in the name of Rav. Then we had a stira, and the Gemara said, there's a different version of Reb Lezer. In the second version, Reb Lezer agrees with the Braisa that you can make an eruv tchumen regardless of the lashon and the shua, unless you say it's hektesh, then you can't make it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Speak now or forever.
If you put the food out in the field because you want to have this eruv, and somebody else comes along and takes it or eats it, where does that leave you?
Yes, it's a good ha'ara, but I think if it was intact during Ben HaShmashot, you're in good shape, okay? In other words, it has to be intact to the twilight period going into Shabbos.
Even if it's not there when you go out the next day, it's okay.
I believe that to be the case, you know, but I think it'll come up. It may come up in the Gemara. Okay, so let's be patient. All right, not today.
If the loaf of bread was someone made it hekdesh, okay, and I'm a Kohen 3,000 amas away from the Beit HaMikdash, this is the eruv tchumim that will allow me to get to the Beit HaMikdash.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
I'm a Kohen.
No, you're mixing kash with mun. A hektesh doesn't mean a Kohen can eat it. Hektesh means...
I didn't say I could eat it, but I'm the only Kohen. Can I get to the Beit HaMikdash with that Eruv?
No, I don't think so. In other words, hektesh is the property of the Beit HaMikdash. So it belongs. In other words, it's not the Kohen's property. It belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. It's no shaykhus to the Kohen. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, let's take a look. All right, so we're three lines from the bottom on Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay, let's refresh our recollection as to what the Mishnah said. If you turn back briefly to Chafav Amud Beis, 26b, a few lines from the bottom. So the Mishnah said, Ma'arv l'nazir b'yayin l'yisro b'truma. We said that we can make an Eruv Tchumen for a Nazir with wine. And why? A Nazir took an Eder not to drink wine, but we can make an Eruv Tchumen with wine, even though he's a Nazir, because other people could drink the wine. Uli Yisrael b'Truma. If he's Israel, he can make the Eruv Tchumen with Truma, even though he can eat the Truma, but a Kohen could eat it. And then Sumchus Omer B'chulin. Sumchus says when it comes to the Yisrael with Truma, it doesn't work. It has to be B'chulin. So we'll see back in the Gemara. So three lines to the bottom on Lama Namadal, 38, three lines to the bottom. So ma'arv the nazir b'yayin v'chulei. We said we make an eruv tchumen for the nazir with wine. So manit lo k'beit shamai. So the Gemara says our Mishnah apparently does not follow the opinion of Beit Shammai. He says the time we learn the brayso Beit Shammai omrim ema arv the nazir b'yayin l'isro b'truma. Beit Shammai says mefurish that you can't make an eruv tchumen for nazir with wine or for yisro with truma. And our Mishnah is pumfakir. Beit Hillel omrim arv the nazir b'yayin l'isro b'truma. Beit Hillel says you could. So Beit Shammai says you can't. Beit Hillel says you could. Our Mishnah is like Beis Hillel, but just doesn't record Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, but it's following Beis Hillel, and that makes sense because the luck we know follows Beis Hillel. All right. So So the Gemara says, Amru lehem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. So Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, Yitamodim, turn page on the top line on Lamed Beis, Yitamodim Shema Arben Lagadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Aren't you Moda that you can make an Eruv Tchumen for an adult, a gadol means an adult, on Yom Kippur, meaning the person wants to walk to, or has to walk to a certain location. Maybe he's a mole, has to do a bris on Yom Kippur. So he can make an Eruv. How does he do? He can't eat on Yom Kippur. Nobody can eat on Yom Kippur. But he's allowed to make an Eruv Tchumen going into Yom Kippur with food because a child could eat the food. A child could eat the food. So Amru Lahen Aval. He said, Aval, he means yes. Yeah, we agree with that halacha. So he says, so Amru Lahen, so Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, once you agree to that, Sheshu Arben L'Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, just like you make an Eruv Tchumen for Gadol on Yom Kippur, even though he personally can't eat the food, a katan, a minor, could eat the food. So came Arben Nazir B'Yayin L'Yisro B'Truma. So too, the same way, so the Nazir with the wine, he can't drink the wine, somebody else could, and the Yisro B'Truma, he can't eat the Truma, but somebody else could. So that's the end of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Ube Chamai Hatam Ika Suda Ruyubiyodiyom. So Beit Shammai would say, with the Gadol and Yom Kippur, so the Gemara is going to learn that we said that the Eruv Tchumen is like the key effective date is during Ben HaShmashot. So the Gemara is going to learn, apparently for Beit Shammai, that it's Tchilat Yom Kona, the beginning of the day, which is at the very beginning of Ben HaShmashot, but even a little bit before Ben HaShmashot. He says, Beit Shammai, Hatam Ika Suda Haruyi Mivyon. Beit Shammai would say, over there, the meal is really to be eaten like 10 minutes before Yom Kippur. So he could eat it 10 minutes before Yom Kippur, and Beit Shammai is learning that that's when the Eruv is effective. Beit Shammai will learn at the end of at the very beginning of the next day, but even a little bit before that. He says, Haka, but here with the Nazir and the Israel, they can't even eat it mibod yom. Okay, now, so the key is, though, that both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that for an Eruv Tchumen, I need food, right? That's the implication. Food will set up the Eruv Tchumen. So the Gemara says, Kaman, so according to whom is this version of Beit Shammai? Delo kechanani. Apparently, it's not like Hanani's version. The Tani, because we learn in the Braisa, Hanani Omer, Kul Asman Shel Beit Shammai, Lo Yumodim Be'eruv, that Beit Shammai was not moded with acknowledging that you can have an Eruv Tchumen ad she'osi mitzto v'chol klei tashmi sholakan, the sham. Unless he's not enough, he brings like two meals there. He's got to bring his bed and everything he needs for Shabbos and really move out there. And then I have an Eruv Tchumen according to Beit Shammai and the food. They quoted in the bar scroll of the Gon Yaakov says, well, so the food. So I can bring my food, my bed, my clothes. I plop it there in the field or whatever I want it to be. Then I'm changing my makom. So Gemara says, "Kaman az lahatatanya." So who does the following brisa go like? It says, "Irei b'shchorim lo yitzei b'labanim." If a person made a eruv tchumen when he was wearing black clothes, he shouldn't go out with white clothes on Shabbos. He says, "Mean with the b'labanim lo yitzei b'shchorim." So the Gemara says, "Kaman." He says that's like Hanani. In other words, Hanani is saying everything I need has to be there, and Mamela, I can't take anything else that wasn't there. Lakora, that's the way Lakora we think. So the Gemara says, Lachanania b'shchorim hudlo yetzei habalavanim yetzei, but he could go out with white. Ha'amar ad sheyotzi mitzto v'chol klei tashmi shel sham. But we said that everything you need has to be there. So if I'm wearing black clothes, in other words, I have to have both my black clothes and my white clothes there in order for the Eruv Tchumen to be effective. Because I need all my clothes, my whole wardrobe, whatever I intend to wear, reasonably expect to wear on Shabbos, has to be there. So if everything isn't there, so then, and that's outside, and so then I'm walking outside my tchum, so even with the black clothes, I can't walk out because I didn't make a proper Eruv Tchumen. In other words, I have to have all the clothes that I reasonably intend to use on Shabbos. If I don't have all the clothes I reasonably intend to use on Shabbos, so I can't wear any of my clothes outside the tchum because I can't even go outside the tchum.
One minute,
please wait just 5 minutes, okay? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, this is what it means. Irei b'levanim, that if he made the Erev with white clothes, v'hutzrach l'shchorim, and now he needs the black clothes, ap b'levanim lo yetzei. In Achinami, he can't even go out with the white clothes. He says, come on, according to whom does that go? Am Rav Nachman Yischa Chanani hi, v'libit Beit Shammai. So he's saying like this, let's just slow down, okay, and we'll take it. So in this version of Beit, so in the earlier version of Beit Shammai, I just need edible food, and then that's going to be my Erev b'tchumen. And Beit Hillel holds, it doesn't have to be edible to you, but it's edible to somebody in the world. I have my Eruv B'tchumen. So Beit Shammai holds, I have to, it's not enough to have edible food. I need edible food, but I also need my bed. I need all the clothes I anticipate, reasonably expect to use on Shabbos, and I have to move into that location. So if I don't have everything that I reasonably expect to use on Shabbos, I don't have a good Eruv B'tchumen. So if going into Shabbos, I know Friday night I wear black clothes. Shabbos morning I wear white clothes, and I only bring my black clothes there. So then the Erev Tchumen is not good because I didn't bring all the clothes that I need for Shabbos. Okay, now let me hear from you, Yosef. What do you got?
So that Baraita didn't say he didn't have his black clothes with him. It just said he was wearing his white clothes.
Yeah, so that's what the Gemara is explaining, what it means.
So he only had his white suit with him.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Now the art scroll gives a summary over here of the different shitot that we had. So with the two Beit Shammai, I think we did already, and then we also had Sumchus, which is in the Mishnah. He said that if you could potentially eat it. We'll see in a minute. Sumchus holds that the person himself who puts the food down has to have the potential to eat the food. And then Beit Hillel holds, as long as somebody in the world can eat it, we're good. Okay, those are all the shitot. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara, the two dots. Okay, let me go back to the Mishnah. Oh, well, we did this already. So we said, according to the Tana of the Mishnah, a Yisrael can put Truma down to be his Erev Tchumen. And Simcha says, no, it's got to be Chulin. Yisrael can't put Truma down and expect to have a good Tchumen. Simcha Sumer B'chulin. So the Gemara says, "V'ilu nazir b'yayin lo palig." But there was an earlier case in the Mishnah where the Tana Mishnah said that a nazir could put wine down. Sumchus doesn't disagree with that. He just disagrees with the Truma case, not with the nazir with wine. So the Gemara says, why does Sumchus disagree with the Truma case? And with the nazir with wine, he's good with. So the Gemara says, "My Tama, efshar d'mishalan izirute," because Sumchus would say, it's possible, theoretically possible, the person could go to a chacham and be released from his vow to be a nazir, in which case he himself would be allowed to have the wine. So therefore, it's good Eruv B'tchumen. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi truma nami efshar d'mishali lebei." But by truma as well, a person could go to a chacham and ask that it be undesignated as truma. So then presumably it would be permissible to him. So why does he say that the Yisrael has to have chulin? It could be even truma that will undo it. So the Gemara says, look, if he does a Shelis Chacham, so now it reverts to being Tevel. Tevel, nobody can eat Tevel. Tevel is untithed produce. So that's not going to help the situation. So the Gemara says, V'lifro shalami makom acher. So why, but even if he has Tevel there, he could separate out from a different location and kosher the Tevel, and then there's a theoretical path under which it would be permissible to him. So lenechtu chaverim letrom shlomo namukaf. So it means chaverim means like the tamid chachamim. So the machlokah rishonim, is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? But you're not supposed to be mafrish truma from a distant location. The thing that you're mafrish should be close by. So that's not nothing that you want to do. So v'lifro shlom mineu bei. So why can't he take? Let's say whatever I have the food there. So I'll say here's this food. Now it's tevel. So of the existing food, so I'm going to, a little bit will be truma, a little bit masrod, and the rest will be chulin. So the Gemara says, the late ba shir, there's not that I only have exactly the right amount of shir for the two meals. So if I'm going to be mafresh, a little bit truma from it, I'm going to run into problems. So umay paska, what is that absolutely in the Mishnah that says that we're only talking about the exact right shir? So Ella Sumchus Savar like Rabbanan. Rather, no. The Gemara says Sumchus holds like the Chachamim. The Amri Kodavar Shum Shmushvut Gazru La Ben Hashmashot. So we're assuming the Erev Tchumen has to take effect Ben Hashmashot. So there's many poskim hold, there are a lot different dinim de Rabbanan don't apply Ben Hashmashot. Now when you're mafrish truma, you're violating a din de Rabbanan. So it's makib apatish. You're making the food edible. So makib apatish is one way to view it. So, but on a drabbanan level, so Simchas holds that there is no heter to be mafrish trumas masters bein hashmashot. So Mela, so the point is like this: if Yisrael put down the truma for his erev tchumen, so there is no theoretical path under which he would be allowed to, you know, like in other words, he could go to a. In other words, there's no way he could go to a chacham, have him be matir it. Now it goes back to tevel. And now he has to like kosher it up and be mafresh so he'll be able to eat it. There's no scenario that the person could do that, Beinah Shmashot, according to Simchas. All right, let me pause. So again, let me just repeat. So we had two halachot in the Mishnah. One is that the Nazir could put his wine down for a Ruvit Chumin, and the Yisrael could put down Truma for a Ruvit Chumin. And Simchas doesn't agree with the din in putting Truma. He says it has to be Chulin. So apparently he agrees with the din with the Nazir with the wine. So why does he agree with the din with the Nazir with the wine? So the Gemara says he can go to a Chacham and the Chacham will annul his vow and then he can eat the wine. So he said, the Gemara says, if that's the case, so why can't a person go and ask that the designation of Truma would be undone? So the Gemara says but if I undo it, it's Tevel and I still can't eat it. But then you'd have to be Mafrish for it. So why can't it be Mafrish for it? So the Gemara says, well, it's too far away, but he can be mafrish from that food that's right there. So the Gemara ends up saying that Simchas holds like the Shita that even Shvus the Rabbanan is no heter for it, Bein HaShmashot. So Mila, since he's prohibited from doing that activity, there is no theoretical model under which he'd be allowed to eat it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I didn't serve so far? What's up? Let me hear. Malka, you got something for me? Let me hear you.
Yeah, I have two questions. One, in the situation where the person who's doing the Erev Tchumim...
Wait, say slowly. I can't hear you so clearly. Scream.
Okay. In the situation where the person is doing the Erev Tchumim, right, and he cannot partake in the food product,
right?
Can that remain the theoretical, or does there have to be somebody that can eat it for him?
No. So it means like this. So first of all, The Chachamim hold that I'm allowed, the Nazir can put down the wine and the Nazir can put down the Truma because other people can eat it. So that's fine with that. Simchas holds there has to be at least a theoretical way that the person could. No, they don't have to do anything. But it's, I mean, there has to be a theoretical route where they could theoretically eat it, not that they have to actually do that. Okay? So the Nazir could put down the wine and the Nazir remains.
The
Nazir remains a Nazir the whole Shabbos, and he doesn't go to a Chacham, but it's still a good Eruv Tchumen because he has a theoretical route which he could have become a non-Nazir and had the wine. That's what it means. Okay.
Okay, but let's say when it comes to a non-Kohen who's doing Truma and he cannot do that, but does there have to be a person who can drink it for him, or it could be just in theory, somebody could do it, or does there have to be somebody in that area who can eat it for him?
No. Again, let's just go. Again, we have two shitot in the Mishnah. According to the Chachamim, if somebody in the world could have it, I have a good Erev Tchumen. I don't have to have it. That's the shita of the Chachamim. Simcha says, no, that doesn't work. You have to be able to eat it. So Simcha says, I have to at least...
Okay.
You got it? Okay, you're good. Okay. Any other questions?
So now I have another question. And my other question is, what if someone walks, that this guy who has the tchumim gets somebody who comes over who within his own tchumim? Can that person then use his tchumim on Shabbat?
Wait, I don't understand the question. Say again, repeat.
So let's say somebody's walking from his tchum, right, that he made up, and he's going
But let's give names. Reuven made a Ruvit tchumim in the field. Okay, so he has his a Ruvit tchumim in the field. Now, what's with Shimon?
So Reuven goes to visit Shimon, right? So can Reuven use his tchumen? I can make a tchumen, and somebody who comes to visit me can use my tchumen, my area.
No. All right, please. I just need one person speaking at a time, okay? So it means like this. Everybody has a tchum Shabbos. Like think of a dots on a piece of paper with circles around them. Everybody has a tchum Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So if Reuven puts his tchum in the field, that's his makom for Shabbos. He's got 2,000 amot, a circle around there. Shimon lives somewhere else. Shimon has his own tchum for Shabbos. So he's not impacted by Reuven's tchum. So it could be that Reuven could visit Shimon and Shimon could visit Reuven, but they each have a different tchum Shabbos. You got it?
Okay, so, okay, yeah.
All right, okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. Robert, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I have a question about this, the measure of food for the two meals.
Right.
What if one person is like 300 pounds and one person is 100 pounds?
Right, we discussed this already, right, in the Gemara.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand.
Okay, so remember we had one.
In other words, it's not a uniform thing, or it is?
There's different shitot. So some shita holds that it's a uniform thing. Some want to say that it's not uniform. Or we'll see a few more lines in the Gemara. Okay, hold off with it, okay? Now, the Gemara says, we'll see shortly. So the Gemara says, okay, everybody with me? Kaman Azla Hadidnan. So according to whom does the following Mishnah go? It says, Yesha Amru Akul Vimashu Adam. Some say everything depends on the person. This is like your question, Robert. Malok Kumso Mincha. In other words, if Malok Koma, comments is when the Kohen, you're looking at my fan, so Kohen takes right, the flower in the three fingers. So that depends on the person. Umalok Chavnav Ketoret. Like on Yom Kippur, the Kohen takes his handfuls full of Ketoret. So each person has a different size hand. Each person has a different, you know, size, you know, fistful or whatever. So he says, let me go back. He says, "V'hashota melo lugma v'yom kippurim." If you violate Yom Kippur, if you drink melo lugma, which is like your cheekful, he says, now here's the key. Mazon shtei sudot le'eruv. And the mazot of two sudot ben eruv would depend on each person. Okay, that's the way that Bryce is saying. You with me, Robert? Okay, now, come on, so who does that b'risa go like? So Amrab Zera, Sumchus he. So the Gemara says that Mistama goes like Sumchus. Sumchus said that I have to be able to eat the food. It doesn't matter anybody else in the world. I have to be able to eat the food. It's my Erev. So Mela, it's my Erev. It's tailored to me. I have to be able to eat it. I don't care what anybody else is doing. So it makes sense that Sumchus holds that the shear for an Erev depends on the person. So one person has one shear and the person has a different shear. He says, So I'm a sumchasi. The Amar, my dechazile ba'inan. He says what he requires. That's what we need. So the Gemara says lema pliga Reb Shimon Lazar. So should we say the sumchas is mechulak on Reb Shimon Lazar? So he says the Tanya. I hope you're listening to this, Robert, because of your points and you hear the different opinions. Okay, the Tanya. We learned in the Brisa, and we actually had this a little bit earlier. The Tanya. We learned in the Brisa. Reb Shimon Lazar Omer ma'arvin lecholu zakein kidei mizono. Shimon Lazar says we go leniently. If he's a chola or a zakein, he doesn't eat so much, so his erubit chumim will be a smaller shear. He says ula ra'av tan. If he's a ra'av tan, a glutton, he eats like 3 tons of food. He says besuda beinoni shel kol adam. So there we say it's going to be the average person's suda. So let's focus on the last meal, the last halacha, the ra'av tan. So here we're not tailoring it to that person's shita. So again, let's go slowly with this. So we have Sumchus in our Mishnah says we're going to go on each person what their needs are, and what their shiurim would be, but then in the Braisa we quote Rav Shimon Lazar holds the Rav Tan, we're going to do the average person. So the Gemara says Tirguma Achola B'Zaken. So we should say that Sumchus is din will only apply by the chol and the zakein, by the sick person and the elderly person. He says, "Abal ra'av tan, batla da toez l'kol adam." The ra'av tan, in other words, in Akinami, there's no stira. It could be that this brisa with Rav Shimon Lazar is also tofes sumchus shita, that everything is tailor-made for the person. But when it comes to the ra'av tan, the person is a big glutton. So there, under those circumstances, we say, Batla dato etzel kol adam. He says his appetite is highly unusual. So there we're going to do the average person. But in general, we would tailor it. See, all right. So that's the best I have with that. All right, I'm going to move on. Now, ulkoin beveda pras. Now the Mishnah said that I could put an erubit chumin for kohen and beta pras. Beta pras is different explanations, what there are different definitions of what beta pras is. But one definition is it was a grave there, it was plowed over. So in 100 amot from where the grave was originally, I'm not allowed to walk because I have to be choshesh that maybe the plow hit bones and there are little fragments of bone all over the place. And if I touch the bone, I'll become tame. If I'm a kohen, I'll become tame. So the Gemara says, ula kohen beta pras. So the Tana Mishnah says, I could put erubit chumin in the beta pras, even though the person whose tchum it is a kohen, it still is an effective eruv. So he says, the Amar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Menapech Adam Beveda Pras Veholdei, because Shmuel says a person could blow because he's just afraid of little fragments of bone. If there's a big bone, he'll see it, and the small fragments will blow away. So there is a theoretical model where the Kohen will be allowed in the Beit HaPras. That's an effective Eruvit Chumin. Now, another halacha that we don't need it, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami, Mishmei, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Beit HaPras Nidash Tahor. He says, if I have a Beit HaPras that's Nidash, in other words, it's been very trampled, like I have a like a well-trampled walkway going through it, so then there's no problem going through. So in other words, I had a field, and there was a plow that went over the grave, and then, but now there's like a pathway where 100 million people walk through this pathway every day, so I could walk through that Beit HaPras on that pathway. Okay, because the people have already knocked over whatever would have been there. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beit HaKvarot. And in the Mishnah we had Beit HaKvarot, but another Girsa was Beit HaKvarot. Rabbi Yehuda says that you could even, if you're a Kohen, the Eruv Tchumen could even be placed in the cemetery, and it's still an Eruv, good Eruv Tchumen. So here, on a Deraisa level, so before that was a Din Derabanan with the Beit HaPras. This is Din Deraisa. On a Deraisa level, Kohen's not allowed to go to the Beit HaKvarot. So how can I have an Eruv Tchumen where the Kohen's not allowed to go? But the Mishnah says I could. So the Gemara says, Tana, b'bnei sheichu ala chos v'lelech b'shita tevu migdal. So a Tana taught in a Braisa, because there is a way that Kohen can go in if he's in a sealed compartment. A shita tevu and a migdal, you know, how does he translate it? An enclosed carriage, crate, or closet. You know, it's interesting with the art school translations, because this comes up all through Shas. I don't think they translate it all the way as carriage, crate, and closet, but you get the idea. So there's a sealed compartment, and the compartment is at least the size, I think, of 40 sa'a, so that it blocks off the tuma. So then
they call it a cupboard in this one.
Okay. So, but the idea is that, like, there's a way he could be carried and he's there. So the Gemara says, Kasava Oel Zaruk Shmei Oel. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds that an Ol Zarek is like a moving Ohel, is called an Ohel. So if it's an Ohel, it's like its own Rishus, and it blocks off the Tumah. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, HaNichlas Eretz HaMim B'Shita Tevu Migdal. So if you remember, we learned this previously in Daf Yomi, but if you haven't had it, so there's the Chachamim where goes your Tumah Eretz HaAmim, that outside of Eretz Israel, all the land has tuma on a drabanan level because they weren't so careful the way they buried the bodies. So it means that, you know, Kohanim have a problem leaving Eretz Yisrael. So it says, the Bryce says, Nichnas Eretz Amim B'Shita Tevu Migdal, if a person enters lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, B'Shita Tevu Migdal, Rebbe Mitame, Rebbe says, you know, it doesn't do anything for your Tame, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda Mitai, Rebbe Yossi says that you're Tahor. So the Gemara says, B'mai Kibifli, what's the point of dispute between those two Shitot? Mar Savar Ol Zeruk Lashmei Oel, Rebbe holds, I don't care if it's a moving oil, and it was moving oil doesn't do anything for me, and the tumor is going to permeate it. He says, Umar Savar Ol Zeruk Shmei Oel. The second opinion, Rabbi Yossi Rehuda holds, no, that's called an Ohel, and Mela, it blocks off the tumor. So he says, now, the Gemara says, Vahad Tanya, but we learned the Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, turn page on the top line, Lamed Altanov, Ma'arvin Lekoin Tahor Betruma Tahora Bekever. So we have a statement, this is from Rabbi Yehuda says, that I could make an Erev Tchumin for a Kohen who's Tahor. He says, Betruma Tahora, with Truma Tahora, Bekever, on a Kever. So Hechi Azil, how does he get to the Kever? So Shita Tevu Migdal. So now I'll begin this. We'll do this tomorrow, but the Gemara says, so fine. The Kohen's there. I got how the Kohen can get in the Beit HaKvarot. But the Gemara says, Va'kevan de'achto itamilo. But if I have Truma, if Truma becomes Tameh, nobody can eat it. The Kohen can't eat it. The Yisrael can't eat it. It has to be burned. So I understand there's a way. So before we weren't talking about Truma, we were just talking about Estam Erev Tchumen on the cemetery. Now I'm talking about Truma in the cemetery. But the Truma will become Tame when I leave it in the cemetery. So how is he able to eat it? So the Gemara says, Bishlo Huchshara, Oshni Losha B'mei Peirot. It was a fruit. It was a truma of fruits, but in order to be mekabel truma, it has to have one of the seven machshirim, and Fern knows the mnemonic for that. Let's hear it, Fern. Let me hear what it is, Fern. Unmute yourself. Let's hear what the mnemonic is. Unmute yourself. Let me hear. Unmute. Michael has it. Let's hear it, Michael. Anybody? Come on.
Yad Shachatam.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, Michael's got it. Okay, so there's seven machshirim, seven fluids have to go on the food in order for you to have kabel tuma. So it's fruit, and none of the seven fluids were on it, so it's like immune from tuma. Or he says, Shinilosha, the same idea, Shinilosha by Peirot, it was like a loaf of bread, but had been kneaded not with water, but with mei peirot, it's also not mekabel tuma. Same reason. Okay, now, okay, so we'll do more about that scenario in tomorrow's daf. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, one second.
I heard that there are kohanim that go in one of these containers
right.
to visit the Rebbe's Ohel.
Right, yeah. In Akinami, yeah, I think they got like a spacesuit or something. But that's all right. So any okay. So I'm going to end the recording now. Let me end recording.